This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Former President Trump and 18 allies have until a week from Friday to voluntarily surrender to officials in Georgia after they were indicted last night on charges of engaging in a criminal conspiracy to undermine the state's 2020 election results. It wraps up a 2.5-year investigation for Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis.
We do want to move this case along, and so we will be asking for a proposed order that occurs a trial date within the next 6 months.
Other defendants include Rudy Giuliani and former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. CBS News legal contributor Ricky Kleeman on what's ahead.
You're going to have to bring all these people in to be arraigned. But when you get to trial, you have 19 lawyers who can question jurors, who can question witnesses. This is a long trial.
I'm Stacey Lynn with reaction to the indictment. Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Leader Hakeem Jeffries said these actions reaffirm the shared belief that in America, no one, not even the president, is above the law. Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tweeted, "Americans, see through this desperate sham." And the Trump campaign said, "The legal double standard set against President Trump must end."
The death toll climbs to 99 in the Maui wildfires, and desperation sets in.
I don't know how things gonna be because we don't have no housing or whatnot, so we just hope for the best.
Thousands of people have been burned out of their homes. The governor is calling for volunteers to sign up with the Red Cross and the Humane Society. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
U.S. Army planes and helicopters with National Guard and active duty and reserve soldiers arrived with supplies. A plane carrying 17 tons of relief supplies is also headed there from North Carolina. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has sent debris and removal personnel and temporary power experts to Maui.
A new study finds Americans in need aren't getting the treatment they need for addiction. CBS's Jim Crisula.
3 in 10 adults in the U.S. have been addicted to opioids or have a family member who has been. Less than half of those have received treatment. The shocking figures come from a survey conducted by KFF, a health policy research group.
Higher interest rates aren't stopping Americans from spending. As inflation eased, the Commerce Department reports, retail sales rose 0.7% in July. That's better than the 0.4% analysts expected. Shopping online, at sporting goods stores, eating out at restaurants and bars led the way. S&P futures down 29. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Have you Googled yourself?
Home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. A Chippewa Falls woman is sentenced to jail time after stabbing her husband in 2021. 35-year-old Ashley Dietrich was charged after the stabbing in October of 2021, where court documents say she used a kitchen knife to stab her former husband and left a suicide note. Prosecutors said that it was an attempted murder-suicide. A plea deal Monday reduced one of the charges, and the other, attempted homicide, was dismissed but read in. Dietrich will serve 3 months in jail and have 3 years of probation. Her former husband filed for divorce shortly after the charges were filed. The city of Eau Claire is considering charging for parking downtown. The city council could take up the proposal as soon as October. WQOW-TV reports downtown business owners are largely against the measure, which they said comes too quickly after new parking regulations were put in place 2 weeks ago and after delays in construction of the city's transit center downtown left downtown roads blocked for months. A petition against paid downtown parking has generated hundreds of signatures. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
Bobby, did we get that ship in a mesquite?
Jim's woodworking shop worked fine
good fit on those Japanese
until half his staff retired.
Wow, those cuts are neat.
I'm really going to miss your precision.
He needs four skilled woodworker bees ASAP.
All right, this jigsaw needs a new blade.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
5 degrees right now in Eau Claire, 58 degrees in Amory. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day so far. We're talking about several different topics today. And if you want to join us on the phone, if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And you can also send us a text message in the Civic Media app. And if you don't have your Civic Media app yet, make sure you download it, put it on your device, put it on your phone, and then you'll have close contact with me and all the other hosts on Civic Media. Drop us a text message anytime you want to. And, of course, this morning we are discussing the big indictment that came down late last night, and the Georgia indictment against former President Donald Trump and his associates. Let me give you just a little bit more information here from the story that's in USA Today. It says, by the numbers, the Trump indictment. It says here that the, let me get back to my page where I was. It says here that there are 98 pages in the indictment, 41 charges, and 19 defendants. It's a big document with large bottom lines, 98 pages with at least 41 charges and 19 defendants, including attorneys and so-called fake electors, as well as Trump himself. The legal case revolves mostly around the state's RICO statute, the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, which penalizes activities of individuals engaging in organized crime. Trump himself faces 13 felony charges in this indictment, bringing to 91 the total charges against him across four separate indictments. The Atlanta indictment accuses Trump and more than a dozen Confederates of engaging in a criminal conspiracy to wipe out Biden's victory in Georgia and award the state to the then president. The scheme allegedly involved improper pressure of state election officials and the use of so-called fake electors. Rudy Giuliani, who pioneered the use of RICO, is indicted on RICO charges. President Richard Nixon signed the federal RICO provisions into law in 1970, part of an effort to give authorities the power to go after the heads of mafia families who managed to insulate themselves from prosecution. Before he became a personal attorney to Trump and was caught up in the investigations swirling around the former president, it was Giuliani himself who put a national spotlight on RICO statutes. How ironic, right? The former U.S. attorney wielded that law to prosecute the leaders of several mob families in New York in the late 1980s. And that's what kind of catapulted him into the mayor's office. Last year, Giuliani's attorneys acknowledged that he was a target of the Georgia probe. According to the indictment, Giuliani repeatedly made false statements about the outcome of the election as he attempted to convince state lawmakers in several states to appoint electors who would support Trump. Giuliani condemned the charges this week as an affront to democracy that harms the justice system. A former federal prosecutor as well as mayor of New York City, Giuliani said, quote, "It's just the next chapter in a book of lies with the purpose of framing President Donald Trump and anyone willing to take on the ruling regime." It's hard to believe that Rudy Giuliani has gotten to this. So what are the fake electors? Well, legal experts say the election fraud charges represent the most serious case against him, against Donald Trump, because of allegations he tried to steal the election and prevent the peaceful transfer of power to President Joe Biden. Within days of the election, Trump's legal advisors ginned up the strategy that one of the architects called somewhat dicey in Georgia. The plan called for then Vice President Mike Pence, in his role as Senate president, to reject Electoral College votes from states that supported Biden and to flip them to Trump when Congress tallied the votes on January 6, 2021. Electors met nationwide on December 14th of 2020, including Georgia's Republican alternates, who allegedly signed documents falsely claiming they were duly elected, according to the House committee that investigated the U.S. Capitol attack. Witnesses told investigators an organizer of the Georgia alternates had trouble setting up a new printer to create the certificates. Participants described the meetings as keeping Trump's legal options open in case he won his legal challenges. It's like when you have the Super Bowl, you print T-shirts, both teams as being the winner, and you keep the T-shirts for the ones that were the winner, and you throw away the ones that weren't. Sean Still, who was the party's finance chairman at the time, who is now a state senator, told House investigators. He also said, as far as we knew, this was an exercise in futility, and that the only ballots that were counted were the ones for Biden. So why did Trump call Raffensperger? Trump tried to call Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger 18 times, finally reaching him on January 2nd of 2021. "All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have," Trump said. Trump also insisted that the ballots are corrupt and someone was shredding them. He told Raffensperger, "It is more illegal for you than it is for them because you know what they did and you're not reporting it." Raffensperger told House investigators he considered Trump's comment a threat. But he said officials found no widespread election fraud. He had recertified the results on December 7th of 2020, and the state Supreme Court rejected one election challenge on December 12th, although others loomed. "Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong. Raffensperger said of a false allegation that unregistered voters cast ballots. So what are the other cases that Trump is facing? Several civil and criminal cases as he campaigns for president in 2024. Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith notified Trump he's a target in the investigation of election fraud in the 2020 election. Trump's lawyers met with Smith's team on July 24th, and an indictment could come any day. New York Attorney General Letitia James has a $250 million civil trial scheduled to start on October 2nd against Trump's namesake company on allegations of fraud for lying for a decade about the value of his properties. E. Jean Carroll won a $5 million defamation. Let me read this again. E. Jean Carroll won a $5 million defamation case against Trump, which he is appealing. She has another trial scheduled to begin in New York on January 15th, the day of Iowa Republican presidential caucuses. New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg has a criminal trial scheduled to start March 25th on 34 charges of falsifying business records to pay hush money before the 2016 election to a woman who claimed to have had sex with him. Jack Smith has a federal trial tentatively scheduled to start May 20th in Florida on charges related to classified documents found at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate a year and a half after leaving the White House. Trump faces 40 charges, including conspiracy to obstruct justice, retaining national defense records, and concealing the records from authorities. While the Atlanta grand jury handed down the indictments this week, 2016 presidential candidate Hillary Clinton appeared on MSNBC saying, "I don't feel any satisfaction. I feel great, profound sadness that we have a former president who has been indicted for so many charges that went right to the heart of whether or not our democracy would survive." Clinton, who lost the 2016 election to Trump, said, "I don't know that anybody should be satisfied. This is a terrible moment for our country to have a former president accused of these terribly important crimes," she added. 9:17 and a half right now. Going to take a quick break. It's a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
President Joe Biden is in Wisconsin on Tuesday, August 15th, and you'll find complete coverage of his visit on your local Civic Media radio station.
News director Terry Bell will kick it all off during the newscast at noon, followed by Town Call with Devil's Advocates host Mike Crute joining the show live live on location in Milwaukee. Then listen for the President's speech during the Todd Alba Show after 1 p.m.
Special live coverage of President Joe Biden's stop in Milwaukee Tuesday, August 15th, starting at noon on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 79. Mostly clear tonight, 60 degrees. Sunny and quite breezy for Wednesday. Winds over 35 out of the southwest. Highs near 88 degrees. Showers and storms for Wednesday night. Some could be on the strong side, a low near 61.
Right now, it's 62.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Daniel Show, music from the Smiths. And I remember when they came out in the earlier mid-80s. Talk about a unique sound. Man, at that time, most of the popular new bands were MTV bands with lots of synthesizers and just that overall synthesizer sound. And then these guys come along, the Smiths, with lots of guitar. Man, that sounded great at the time and still sounds great today, right? Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 63 degrees in Richland Center right now. It's 54 degrees up in Hayward. Everybody looking for highs around 80 degrees today. And if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Hey, the next story I wanted to get to here was about these kids in Montana. Have you heard about this? New York Times headline says, judge rules in favor. Montana youths in a landmark climate case. The court found that young people have a constitutional right to a healthful environment and that the state must consider potential climate damage when approving projects. Wow, congratulations to these kids in Montana, the Utes. A group of young people in Montana won a landmark lawsuit on Monday when a judge ruled that the state's failure to consider climate change when approving fossil fuel projects was unconstitutional. The decision in the suit called Held versus Montana, coming during a summer of record heat and deadly wildfires, marks a victory in the expanding fight against government support for oil, gas, and coal, the burning of which has rapidly warmed the planet that we live on. And here's a quote. It says, as fires rage in the West, fueled by fossil fuel pollution, today's ruling in Montana is a game changer that marks a turning point in this generation's efforts to save the planet from the devastating effects of human-caused climate chaos, said Julia Olson, the founder of Our Children's Trust, a legal nonprofit group that brought the case on behalf of the young people. This is a huge win for Montana, for youth, for democracy, and for our climate. More rulings like this will certainly come, end quote. The ruling means that Montana, a major coal and gas producing state that gets one-third of its energy by burning coal, must consider climate change when deciding whether to approve or renew fossil fuel projects. The Montana Attorney General's office said the state would appeal, which would send the case to the state Supreme Court. This ruling is absurd, but not surprising, from a judge who let the plaintiff's attorneys put on a week-long taxpayer-funded publicity stunt that was supposed to be a trial. Emily Flower, a spokeswoman for the Attorney General, Austin Knudsen, or Knudsen, said in a statement, Montanans can't be blamed for changing the climate, end quote. The case is part of a wave of litigation related to climate change that is targeting companies and governments around the globe. States and cities are suing companies like Exxon, Chevron, and Shell, seeking damage from climate disasters and claiming that the companies have known for decades that their products were responsible for global warming. And individuals are now suing state and federal governments, claiming that they have enabled the fossil fuel industry and failed to protect their citizenry. Michael Berger, executive director of the Sabin Center for Climate Change Litigation at Columbia University, said the Montana case would reverberate around the country. This was climate science on trial. And what the court has found, as a matter of fact, is that the science is right, Mr. Berger said. Emissions contribute to climate change. Climate harms are real. People can experience climate harms individually, and every ton of greenhouse gas emissions matters. These are important factual findings, and other courts in the U.S. and around the world will look to this decision, end quote. The Montana case revolved around language in the state constitution that guarantees residents the right to a clean and healthful environment and stipulates that the state and individuals are responsible for maintaining and improving the environment for present and future generations. A handful of other states have similar guarantees, and young people in Hawaii, Utah, and Virginia have filed.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Special Report. Former President Trump says he'll release a detailed report of his own on Monday on what he calls election fraud in the state of Georgia. His announcement comes hours after a grand jury there indicted Mr. Trump and 18 allies on criminal charges for allegedly trying to change the 2020 election results. Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis.
It is now the duty of my office to prove these charges in the indictment beyond a reasonable doubt at trial.
She's She's hoping for a trial date within the next 6 months. CBS News legal contributor Ricky Kleeman.
You have 19 lawyers who can question jurors, who can question witnesses. This is a long trial.
UVA political analyst Larry Sabato on how it may affect the GOP presidential campaign.
Tim Scott, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, and the others. What will they do and say now? Will they finally break with Donald Trump?
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. A Chippewa Falls woman is sentenced to jail time after stabbing her husband in 2021. 35-year-old Ashley Dietrich was charged after the stabbing in October of 2021, where court documents say she used a kitchen knife to stab her former husband and left a suicide note. Prosecutors said that it was an attempted murder-suicide. A plea deal Monday reduced one of the charges, and the other, attempted homicide, was dismissed but read in. Dietrich will serve 3 months in jail and have 3 years of probation. Her former husband filed for divorce shortly after the charges were filed. The city of Eau Claire is considering charging for parking downtown. The city council could take up the proposal as soon as October. WQOW-TV reports downtown business owners are largely against the measure, which they said comes too quickly after new parking regulations were put in place 2 weeks ago and after delays in construction of the city's transit center downtown left downtown roads blocked for months. A petition against paid downtown parking has generated hundreds of signatures. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Right now on this Tuesday morning, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. If you have an opinion on anything, give us a call. Anything we're discussing today, 715-388-7155 is the phone number. And in addition to that story about those kids in Montana, we're trying to get companies and government agencies to stop putting out carbon emissions that we talked about just before the break. Of course, this morning we've been talking about the big charges that were handed down yesterday from Georgia and the fact that our former president has now been indicted for a fourth time this year charged with crimes. I have a story here from the New York Times that kind of explains things about why Bonnie Willis wants to use these racketeering charges. It gives her the opportunity to tell the whole story rather than just charging Trump and his accomplices individually by putting it together as a RICO charge, the racketeering charge. It's an opportunity to kind of tell the whole story, put everybody in under this umbrella so that she can tell not only what they were doing in Georgia, but also their efforts in other states around the country to overturn the 2020 election. The story here from the New York Times says prosecutors have found racketeering laws to be powerful tools in targeting not only foot soldiers in a criminal enterprise, but also high-level decision makers. And this piece was just posted this morning at the New York Times. It says, for more than 50 years, prosecutors have relied on a powerful tool to take down people as varied as mafia capos, street gangs like the Crips and the Bloods, and pharmaceutical executives accused of fueling the opioid crisis. Now, a prosecutor in Georgia is using the state's version of the Racketeer-Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, better known as RICO, to go after former President Donald Trump, who, along with 18 of his allies, was indicted on Monday on charges of participating in a wide-ranging conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 election in Georgia. One power of RICO is that it often allows a prosecutor to tell a sweeping story, not only laying out a set of criminal acts, but identifying a group of people working toward a common goal as part of an enterprise to engage in patterns of illegal activities. Bonnie Willis, the district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, is using a RICO indictment to tie together elements of a broad conspiracy that she describes as stretching far outside of her Atlanta area jurisdiction into a number of other swing states, a legal move made possible by the racketeering statute. Her investigation also reached into rural parts of Georgia, notably Coffee County, where Trump allies got access to voting machines in January of 2021 in search of evidence that the election had been rigged. Signaling its breadth, the indictment brought Monday night laid out a number of ways the defendants obstructed the election. By lying to the Georgia legislature and state officials, recruiting fake pro-Trump electors, harassing election workers, soliciting Justice Department officials, soliciting Vice President Mike Pence, breaching voting machines, and engaging in a cover-up. RICO is a tool that allows a prosecutor's office or law enforcement to tell the whole story, Ms. Willis said at a news conference last year. Her challenge will be to convince jurors that the disparate group of 19 conspirators charged in the indictment, including a former president and a local bail bondsman, a White House chief of staff, and a former publicist for Kanye West, were all working together in a sprawling but organized criminal effort to keep Mr. Trump in power. State and federal prosecutors have found that they can use RICO laws to effectively make such arguments, and Ms. Willis has done it before. So has Rudy Giuliani, one of the defendants who made his name trying racketeering cases against mafia families decades ago as a federal prosecutor in New York. Clark Cunningham, a law professor at Georgia State University, said the indictment shows the incredible power brought to bear against Trump by using Georgia's racketeering law, noting that in addition to the 19 people charged, it encompassed as many as 30 unindicted co-conspirators over 160 separate acts in all, end quote. But RICO laws have their detractors. Some critics say that the laws have granted too much power to prosecutors, allowing them to indict dubious members of organizations that are, in some cases, barely organized. Because RICO is so expansive and so open as a tool, it allows people to be caught in its dragnet that are nothing like the people who were originally intended when the laws were first developed more than 50 years ago, said Martin Sabelli, past president of the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. Another potential pitfall for a big RICO case is that it may become too complex for jurors to follow. As Michael Moore, the former U.S. attorney for the Middle District of Georgia, put it on Monday night, when you fish with too big a net, you risk getting tangled up yourself, end quote. Some of the defendants were already accusing Ms. Willis of overreaching. A spokesman for Jeffrey Clark, a former Justice Department official who was charged in the case, said Ms. Willis was exceeding her powers by inserting herself into the operations of the federal government to go after Jeff, end quote. Trump's legal team said, we look forward to a detailed review of this indictment, which is undoubtedly just as flawed and unconstitutional as this entire process has been, end quote. Trump and his allies have argued that their efforts to challenge his 2020 election loss in Georgia were well within the bounds of the law. Indeed, Trump has been laying the groundwork for his defense for months, arguing repeatedly that there was nothing illegal about his now famous call to Brad Raffensperger, Georgia's Secretary of State, on January 2nd, 2021. That's the call where Trump told Raffensperger he hoped to find the 11,780 votes he needed to win in Georgia. But the RICO indictment forces Trump to push back against a broader allegation that he was part of a multi-pronged criminal scheme that involved not only calls to state officials, but the convening of a bogus pro-Trump electors. The harassment of Fulton County election officials and false statements made by Trump allies, including Rudy Giuliani, before state legislative bodies. In Georgia, RICO is a felony charge that carries stiff penalties, a potential prison term of 5 to 20 years, a fine, or both. Racketeering statutes are an outgrowth of New York City's long history of combating corruption and organized crime. The word racketeer itself is derived from the racket at boisterous Tammany Hall fundraising dinners, where it was an expectation among crooked politicians that anyone who hoped to get a piece of city business would buy tickets. It's a racket. Under Giuliani's leadership in the 1980s, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York used RICO to prosecute powerful mobsters like Anthony Fat Tony Salerno of the Genovese crime family and Anthony Tony Ducks Corallo of the Lucchese family. But Giuliani also used the federal statute to prosecute white-collar business cases. Ms. Willis may rival Giuliani in her deep well of experience with RICO charges. She made her name as an assistant district attorney by bringing a sprawling RICO case against educators in the Atlanta public school system in 2013 in the wake of a cheating scandal, and has used Georgia's version of the law repeatedly since then. In the 2013 case, a group of Atlanta educators were accused of inflating standardized test scores and giving a false sense of academic progress. At the time, there was concern that the state was applying a law known for targeting the mob to a group of modestly paid public school teachers, most of whom were Black. "I think it's overkill," Atlanta lawyer Bruce Harris told the Los Angeles Times. RICO was originally designed for organized crime. Ms. Willis has said defending the integrity of the education system and children's right to an education was paramount. The trial ended with 11 defendants being found guilty of racketeering, with some convicted of other crimes. After being elected Fulton County's top prosecutor in 2020, she has continued to be aggressive in using RICO to prosecute other cases, particularly in her fight against street gangs. The best known is the ongoing RICO conspiracy case against the group Young Slime Life, headed by the Atlanta rapper Jeffrey Williams, who performs as Young Thug. The indictment charges that members of the group known as YSL committed the crime of conspiracy to violate the RICO Act, and that certain members are responsible for crimes like murder, aggravated assault, and armed robbery. Defense attorneys maintain that the group is merely a musical collective. In an analysis of the case for the pop culture website Complex, Andre G., a music and culture writer, blasted Ms. Willis for wielding RICO as an overly broad dragnet. It's an ugly, precedent-setting maneuver in the war on rap that can only happen because the law allows her to be creatively predatory with her definition of a corrupt organization, Mr. G. wrote. Some experts have argued that applying RICO charges in a criminal case allows prosecutors to use the law's often stiff penalties to pressure defendants marginally connected to criminal groups to take plea bargains. In the YSL case, Ms. Willis's office obtained pleas from a number of defendants, securing admissions along the way that the group was indeed a criminal street gang. The Young Thug case, taking place in the same courthouse that may eventually host Donald Trump, has shown how unwieldy a large racketeering case with multiple defendants can be. Jury selection, which began in January, has yet to be completed and has been rife with hiccups and scandals. Noting that Ms. Willis is hoping for a trial within the next 6 months, Christopher Timmons, an Atlanta trial lawyer and former prosecutor experienced in RICO cases, said the timetable seemed to be ambitious. Well, it's just another in what may be a long list of indictments for our former president. 9:47, going to take a quick break. It's a short one. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over, so I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
Well, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed, so I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 79. Mostly clear tonight, 60 degrees. Sunny and quite breezy for Wednesday. Winds over 35 out of the southwest. Highs near 88 degrees. Showers and storms for Wednesday night. Some could be on the strong side, a low near 61.
Right now, it's 62.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 9:53 and a half right now on this Tuesday morning. We've got 65 degrees in La Crosse, 62 degrees in Amory. Looking for highs today, close to 80 degrees. Even warmer in Amory or in Hayward. They're supposed to get up to 81 degrees today. Hey, at the beginning of the program, we were discussing ways that you can help out for the disaster in Hawaii, the Maui wildfires, and I went through a few different organizations that you can support and send money to. Any of these can be found easily online by doing a quick search And of course, I mentioned the American Red Cross. That's always a good place to start when there is a disaster. Other organizations are the Maui Strong Fund, supported by the Hawaii Community Foundation. But you could just do a search for Maui Strong Fund if you want to support them. Also, the Maui Food Bank and the Maui Humane Society. Okay. For those of us who are animal lovers, those guys, the Maui Humane Society, doing good work out there finding animals that need help. I actually saw a report last night on the news about the Humane Society picking up animals, dogs and cats left behind by people that were running for their lives. And hopefully many of those animals will be reunited with their families. But those are just some of the organizations you might want to look into if you want to send some money to the people of Hawaii, the island of Maui, who could use our help right now, that's for sure. Hey, before we wrap things up for the day, I just want to give you a little bit of information about, I think I've covered the indictment pretty well, right? Or at least as much as I want to during a two-hour period. So in the few remaining minutes we have left, I'm going to give you some health information. Health information is always good stuff, right? I try to give you a little bit of that every once in a while. There's a story in at the NBCnews.com with a question that says, just how bad is alcohol? Eight experts weigh in on the risks and supposed benefits of drinking. Now, when you're having a drink, do you ever think about the benefits of drinking? I think we're going to have a glass of wine because it's supposed to be good for you. The subheadline says abstaining from alcohol is the healthiest option, but light drinking is okay for most people, according to doctors and nutritionists. This piece was posted on August 12th at NBC News. It says, although it's common knowledge that drinking too much is unhealthy, research sometimes conflicts about where the dividing line is between permissible and risky alcohol consumption, and whether drinking a small amount could come with any health benefits. In the last few months alone, two large studies have further complicated the picture. A March analysis found that moderate drinkers do not have a lower risk of death than lifetime non-drinkers, while a June study found that heart health benefits associated with moderate alcohol consumption could be linked to the way it can reduce stress activity in the brain. Meanwhile, a study published last month showed that deaths related to excessive drinking are rising in the United States, especially among women. So how harmful is a weekly or even nightly glass of wine? NBC News spoke to eight nutritionists and doctors about the risks and supposed benefits of alcohol. They generally agreed that abstaining is healthiest, but that for most people, a modest level of drinking doesn't carry significant risk. The notion that drinking may somehow improve health, they said, is misguided. So don't drink alcohol for health reasons. It's better to abstain, drink some water, maybe some juice if you want a little sugar. Anyway, it looks like we've run out of time for today. That's it for this program. And I hope you have a great day. Stay tuned to your local Civic Media radio station. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. This is my home. This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong. Thank you.
Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.